Hey everybody, it has been a long way away, a whole, 2 weeks since our last episode. So it is me, Andrew, here with my friend Steven, who is covering everything HomeKit with me. Since we missed last week for totally legitimate reasons, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today.
We do. There was much wailing and gnashing of teeth on Twitter. We had so many listeners say, what?
I know.
We cannot believe you're missing a week. But that's wonderful. I mean, we're glad that you enjoy the show that much that you don't want to miss a week. So thank you all for your graciousness, and we're back.
I know. I hope everyone found something to do for that missing 37 minutes or so from the past week.
I did. I mean, I found another HomeKit thing to install, but well, we can get to that. But listen, you were on vacation, right?
We have a old family cabin up in Michigan on Higgins Lake. We've been going there. My grandfather literally grew up there. He would spend months there at a time. So it's just been kind of passed down, and it's still kind of like our summer place that our huge extended family goes to up every kind of year.
Extended.
Extended family heads up to every year. We kind of all split it up. As everyone's older and getting married and people have kids, it's getting more and more complicated to schedule everything. But yeah, we were hanging out up there. Just a beautiful lake. A lot of time in the water with our dogs, sightseeing and everything up there, just so pretty. So had a lot of time up there, about a week, and yeah, it left me unable to record the podcast for the week, which of course is very sad.
So while you're away, did you keep an eye on any home stuff and HomeKit secure video maybe?
Oh yeah, I'm always worried about my house. I just always worried about it. So we always have a good security and everything going on here, and it gives you a good peace of mind.
You're worried about it running away?
Yes, exactly. Run away from itself. So yeah, I'm just always paying attention to it, and I felt much better having so much of my HomeKit stuff around. I was watching my neighbor walk around my house, literally picked up camera to camera as she walked around our house and was checking out the opposite side of where they are, just kind of snooping around.
Did you yell back at them?
Oh my gosh, that's what everyone was saying. My dad was like, "Oh, can you get two-way communication on there? Why don't you yell, or can I help you? You looking for something?" No, I did not scare our neighbor. We saw, I don't know if I mentioned on here or not, but my wife brought home an extra cat a few weeks ago, and right. We've been trying to watch them, make sure that they were still behaving. Both of them were able to eat. We have automated pet feeders. I want to make sure they were both actually getting their food. So we saw them running around, our new cat, Easton, just literally running over every piece of furniture, climbing on everything in sight, completely unchecked. So that was entertaining, watching him on our Eve cam, just having complete control of the house. My mother-in-law came over to check on the bunnies and the fish and everything. So it's kind of nice to see just when everything works perfectly, you literally see okay, there's motion on the front door, a vehicle was detected. A few minutes later, a person was detected on the front door. I get my notification from August that my mother-in-law opened the door with her passcode. I use the number pad for her. She doesn't have a smartphone or anything like that. So she just has a code she puts in, boom, gets into the house, right inside. My Eve cam is hey, we detected a person in the living room. As she goes through to check the, cats and everything, it's there's someone in the kitchen. It was so nice being able to see those. And it does know who she is because she's been over here before. So the cameras were actually able to notify me who it was that it detected with the iOS 14 facial recognition feature. So that was nice to see. Everything just worked so smoothly. It made me feel really good, not only because I could, see that she was coming over to check the animals, but if somebody else was ever in the house, that I would get proper notifications on everything. So I felt really good about everything that was there, how everything was set up. It's still ridiculously hot and dry here in Ohio. We have not had much rain still, and I've got a lot of gardens going on, so it was nice to see my, Eve Aqua was watering everything. I came back, and we've got, strawberries like crazy. My tomato plants grew, twice their size. So that was all good to see. I have another one up front. Half the garden is hooked up to a soaker hose, and the other half I can't reach because there's no faucet on that side. So half the garden looked really good after being gone for a whole week, and the other half was a little pitiful, being just way too dry and droopy. But no, it was great. I love being able to see everything, check in on the house. Everything operated as it should have been. I felt much more comfortable, leaving our house for such a long amount of time, knowing everything was properly being monitored, taken care of, just no issues. It was great.
Awesome. Well, let's hit some news because we got a ton to cover. And so, first of all, I wanted to give a shout out to one of our favorite developers, Matthias. Don't know how to say his last name, Hotchkaterer, but he does the HomePlus 4 app, and he has given us some beta access to his new version that's going to be coming out with iOS 14. And so, just wanted to give everybody a heads up, it's looking pretty good. He's working on it for the new iOS 14. And so, HomePlus 4, and if you're looking for another app to manage your devices, encourage you to check it out. As far as new devices in the HomeKit space, I saw this, the Yardian, that's a funny name, the Yardian Zone Sprinkler. This is an 8 or 12 zone sprinkler system that was launched, and it has HomeKit ability. And so if you're big into that irrigation, you need a mini zone sprinkler system, look at the Yardian. We'll put a link in show notes to that. Did you have any experience with that?
No, I've not heard of them or used their product. I use the Eve Aqua, as we've talked about, and I have the Orbit Beehive, another sore spot there. We've mentioned that. So I use that as well as my front yard that's not HomeKit yet.
Yeah.
Getting there, maybe. They say it is. No, I use those two so far. I could freaking use a sprinkler because our yard is turning brown.
Right, right. Well, if any of our listeners out there are thinking about the Yardian, or maybe you have one already, let us know what you think about it, and we could talk about it on the show. This next piece of news is, it's not HomeKit, but I had to throw it in there because I thought it was so interesting. Our friends at Eufy, which is the smart home brand from Anchor, they put up on Kickstarter that they have a delivery smart drop device. So I'll put a link in show notes. It's a Kickstarter link, and I'll just try to explain it real quick. Basically, they've come up with an anti-package theft safe that you put outside your door. So when you get like Amazon deliveries or anything from UPS or whatever, you can open it for them. They can put the package in there, and then you don't have to worry about someone stealing it off your front porch. They had a $50,000 goal, and they blew way past that, and they raised $253,000 so far with already 43 days to go. But super interesting. It's something that sits outside your house. It's got a camera on it. It's got some buttons on the front. Basically, you open it for the delivery guys when they come up so they can put the package in, and it doesn't get stolen. You secure it down into the ground in some way, and they have a bunch of features and stuff talking about how it's basically you can't break into it and it's super secure. But anyway, I thought it was super interesting. Maybe because it's Eufy, maybe HomeKit will come to it eventually, but let us know if any of you are interested in something like this. I find it super interesting. I know there's sometimes, I have my doorbell cam, and when I do get a delivery, especially if I know if it's something technology related or something kind of higher priced, I'm always kind of like, oh, I can't wait to get home so I can not have the thing sitting out on the porch. And this is an interesting device. Does this tempt you at all? Would you like a security box outside your door?
Oh, yeah. I'm already considering hitting back this project as we're looking at it. Okay, I get a lot of stuff delivered for work, and then my wife orders plenty of stuff, and I order plenty of things, especially during the pandemic when we're not kind of going outside as much.
Right.
We're not going to the stores. Like, clearly people are ordering stuff. USPS is having delays. Amazon has just been going crazy, so everyone's ordering things, and something like this would be huge. And I've been looking for something like this for a while. So I originally tried, I can't even think what it is. They lit up a picture of it on the campaign, which says like hard to use below it, but it has like, it's a yellow, I can't think of what it's called. I'm sorry, but it's you scan the,
like a padlock.
No, it's a smart one. And the idea is you add the tracking numbers to your account. Like, you actually manually add a tracking number in the app, and then when the delivery guy comes, they take this lock, and there's a scanner on it, and they scan the barcode on the package, and assuming the barcodes match a tracking number that you've added, the lock will unlock, and they can put the package inside, and then it locks back up when they're done. But it requires you to manually add all your barcodes or your tracking numbers for it to compare against, and then if you have something coming in through a service you don't know about, which is something I have a problem with, sometimes stuff comes in, odd delivery services, or they come in and I don't know about them, so I can't add the tracking number. So that never worked that great for me. I really saw earlier this year one that made me excited, which was from Yale and August, or Asa Bloy and August, I guess. I think it's under the August umbrella or the Yale umbrella, whatever. But it's a smart lock kind of package delivery thing, and it has HomeKit baked in there because it's going through the August section of Asa Bloy. And the idea is basically there's all these different ways you can kind of run it, but it can be unlocked. Your delivery person comes and it'll open for them. They put the package in, they close it, and then it locks. sort of locks behind them. And then, of course, it's all controlled through the August app and everything like that. And that looked really slick. So I was really excited about that. But this is a little bit different because it has things like the motion detector, has the camera, the key codes, all of those kind of additional things to go along with it. Whereas the August one, it was probably the nicest one that I've seen so far before this, but it doesn't work. It doesn't have the camera and everything else in there that this does. This kind of has all those additional security steps. And I've got a, you know, front doorbell cam, a lot of us do, but it doesn't make me feel that safe when always on social media, Twitter and Reddit, you see these videos of packages being stolen.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, if like Ring or something is supposed to really deter this, why is there nothing but all these people stealing packages, like video of that going viral online, like constantly?
Yeah.
Like, why are people just stealing packages with the Ring doorbell there? I don't know if it's still just not doing anything because you still can't track those people down. Like, I'm going to go call the police and report a non-emergency if someone stole my package and this is a picture and
yeah,
kind of goes nowhere. I don't know. Or people just covering their faces, they run up and steal them. I don't understand, but we see it all the time. And these things aren't subtle. People can see, you know, your Arlo camera, your Ring camera, your whatever camera you've got there. People can see it and they still steal packages. So yeah. I still feel like something like this is useful. I definitely want, I need something up there. I really want one of these yeah. on my porch.
So the cool thing about this one is if there's no packages in it yet, so if you're getting like one delivery that day, the delivery person could just tap the open button and it just opens because there's no packages in there. So there's no danger of something getting stolen. So it opens for the first package. And then for second and third packages, you can get an access pin generated that you then attach to the delivery. You know, if you have like notes for an Amazon delivery or like an access code, like for a gate code. So you put the pin in that, and then the delivery person can use the pin to unlock it if there's already a package in the thing. Anyway, I just thought this was super cool. It seems like it's got all the features. It's made from a great company. Just would love it to have HomeKit. But, you know, since it's a HomeKit insider and you're probably ordering HomeKit devices all the time, you know, this might be pretty cool to protect those things as they sit on your porch.
I would love if HomeKit was here.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool because you'd have the camera for HomeKit and the motion detector. And I don't know if people know this much, but outdoor motion detectors are very rare in HomeKit. There's a few on the actual doorbells that are the one or two that have launched, but the only other one that's out there is the Philips Hue outdoor sensor. And having an outdoor motion detector, anytime someone's on your porch, turn on your porch lights, anything like that. Someone comes on your porch, turn on the sprinkler. Whatever you want to do, you can do it with, you know, an outdoor motion sensor, path lights, anything like that. So having another outdoor motion detector would be great.
Yeah.
So that'd be another really nice feature if HomeKit came to this, plus the lock itself. So you got the lock, the camera, motion detector, super useful to have through HomeKit.
Yeah. So if you want to get one, you can pledge as little as $150, and that gets you this device. That's supposedly 50% off. They believe it's going to be MSRP will be $300 when it finally launches. So you can get it for $150 now if you back the Kickstarter. Estimated delivery, though, is June 2021. So it is kind of a long way away. But if you really want something like this, or you know you'll be in a house at that point, just check it out. There's a link in show notes to their Kickstarter. So talk to me about the August biosecurity feature that you put on here.
Yeah, so that's a new update that came out to the August app. And essentially, it is going to allow you to add biometrics to add some additional security to your smart locks. Now, if you're using your August or your Yale lock entirely through HomeKit, this isn't going to matter much. HomeKit already is extremely secure, and they already require you to use Face ID or something like that to unlock your lock. But this just adds an extra level of protection through the August app. Before, you could, someone had your phone and it was open, they could open the August app and unlock your lock or lock your lock, but that wouldn't do as much. Right. This new update, now you can toggle on this new feature that will require you to use Touch ID or Face ID, whatever's on your device, before you can actually control the lock. You can still launch the app, you can still see the status of the lock without having to use the biometric, so it's actually still quick to check the status and everything like that. But if you actually want to control the lock, you need to use that biometrics to confirm your identity. So it just gives you another level of protection. So someone couldn't use HomeKit to control your August lock, but they could, if your phone was unlocked for like sitting there unlocked, they could grab it and unlock your lock without you necessarily knowing. So this just adds a little bit more protection, kind of a loophole around you going through HomeKit biometrics, so you can go through that way. So just a small update there coming to the August app.
Gotcha. And going to another door lock. So Level Lock, the company that has the indoor bolt thing that you can put in and keep your own door lock, they now have a Level Lock Touch. And this is a way where you can unlock the Level Lock with kind of a finger swipe. I assume your cell phone has to be nearby. Tell me, what do you know about the Level Lock Touch?
Oh, I'm excited for this. You guys really, really liked Level Lock. The video review of this that we put out, like almost 400,000 some views thus far. This is like the biggest reaction we've got from a smart lock review that we've done. And the original Level Lock was really cool because it essentially everything was hidden inside your door. So keep all your existing hardware, no bulky attachments, no, you know, the August kind of mounts that bigger thing on the inside. Other ones add like the keypads to your outside and replacing hardware, all that stuff. This was just so simple because it literally just went inside your door, just replaced like the actual deadbolt on your door. And it was so easy to use and install. So this new one essentially is just an extra step forward. So now they're launching a version that allows you to actually replace the hardware on your door at the same time. So if you want to replace your hardware at the same time, your interior throw as well as the outside keyhole, you can just get this more complete version of Level Lock. But they took that same time. They're like, hey, if we're going to launch this version with that hardware, we might as well add some additional functionality into that. We have that extra space on the inside that we can use. So they've taken the outside part there, the keyhole part, and they've made that touch sensitive. You can just touch it to lock and unlock your door. And yes, it does connect with your phone to kind of authenticate and everything like that. But just another easy way to control your lock. They also have key cards. So whether you are someone who doesn't have a phone, a grandparent or a parent or a kid that doesn't have a phone yet, you can give them a little like credit card. They can just slide it in their wallet and you can just tap this on the lock. Boom, lock and unlock that way. That'll authenticate because they don't have a phone to authenticate against. Or it's great if you're going out for a run or something. You want to leave your phone at home. You're going to go for a run, come back. You don't have your phone with you. You can just tap on that outside or use your keypad, the pass card there, and get in that way. And the thing is extremely thin. Like, there's no added bulk here. It looks just like the original Level Lock, completely, like, invisible. There's nothing there. There's no bulk. It is so slim, tiny, unassuming. It does not look like a smart lock, which is kind of what Level has very much been going. Like, that's their whole, like, kind of smart home idea, is that it shouldn't look like a smart home. It should look normal and just add all that smart functionality to it. So I'm excited. The price is kind of high. I think it's north of $300. When you start looking at replacing the whole deadbolt thing with a hardware on the outside, the locks do get much more expensive. There's obviously cheap ones, but there's very expensive ones as well. So you're kind of taking all the Level tech plus touch functionality and new hardware and everything. I can kind of see where it gets there. I'm sure a lot of people are going to love this because I know people do not like adding all that extra bulk that comes with a smart lock. They don't like how it looks. They don't like how big it is. They don't look how techy it looks. This is just so unassuming. There's nothing to worry about, and you just have all that extra functionality. I really like this. I cannot wait to try this out.
Yeah, this looks super cool. So it's $329, and it comes in several colors. You can get like brass, black, silver, and like a brushed nickel. So it looks great. I mean, this is something, if we do move and build a house, like this is what I'm going to be looking at because it looks great. You know, it does not look like a smart lock. I do love how they have the battery now. You could see, if you go to the website, we'll put the link in show notes, the actual deadbolt that goes in and out, it actually unscrews the top cap and the battery goes in there. So it be super easy to change that battery out when you need to. You don't have to take anything out or you need a tool. You don't need a tool or anything. So a lot of ingenuity going into that, you know, where you replace the battery and stuff. The key cards are like normal hotel key card kind of thing. So you just unlock it. I don't have one of these, but their app looks beautiful too. So man, yeah, they're killing it. Definitely pricey, but looks like an awesome product. So tell me about the Eve app update that came out. It's version 4.5.
Yeah, version 4.5 of the Eve app is out now. If you were an Eve user, an Eve Cam user, you might have already seen this because it came out while I was lounging at the beach. But the new app update includes a lot of camera-related features. My favorite is this new kind of grid view that shows all of your cameras in your home at one time. So basically just gives you that overview of your house. See all your cameras at the same time. You can long press on those cameras and it'll give you like automation suggestions for that room. So if you're pulling up your front door, maybe it'll give you the option to turn on the lights because you have light in that room connected to HomeKit. So those are nice additions. It'll also work with Siri. You can create a Siri shortcut to just say view my cameras and all of your cameras will come up there in the Eve app. You can see them all at once. That might be one of my favorite features about this, because how many times are you out there, you're looking at your cameras and you want to look at a specific room or something, maybe someone is lurking around your house. It may be more advantageous to pull up all the cameras at once rather than pull up one room and then trying to shuffle between, see what's going on. It's kind of like a security feed of just a high level overview, and you can just really get to it quickly with that Siri shortcut. So nice update there. Camera, the Eve Cam was also upgraded with a firmware update, which enables the new flip mode. So if you mount this thing upside down, you can now flip the camera feed upside down. Nice. Because before, if you mounted your camera upside down, your video was upside down. I don't know why that was a thing originally. I wish Eve had done that from the beginning. Because we had quite a few people mention that in the reviews that we did. So I'm glad that they now have the option to flip the video feed from the Eve Cam. You have to update the app first, then do the firmware update for the camera. Then you can toggle the video feed whichever way you prefer.
Very cool. So a nice app update there. And another app that I guess is a pretty new app, the Quick Flick Lights. Have you had some experience with this?
Yeah, the developer just sent this over to me, and this was an app I was unfamiliar with. Now, I don't just go in here and tout every app that somebody sends me, so if your app sucks, don't send it to me.
Right, don't. Right.
I'll either say something not nice, or I'm just not going to mention it at all. But Quick Flick Lights is a really cool idea, and I really liked it. Sometimes the interface is a little boxy, but overall it's a very nice, clean interface with one purpose, which is to control the lights in your house. So you open it up, you have all your rooms, and you can just tap into a room and control the lights. It's very, very fast because it gets rid of all your other HomeKit accessories and just shows your lights. Mm-hmm. So it's not like flashing your lights like Home Flash. The other one, this is actually, I mean, I saw the word flick, and I was like, oh, it's going to be like a way to flicker the lights or something.
Right.
But
right.
It's literally just flick, like quickly turn your lights on and off. You can jump into, you can control a whole room all at the same time, jump into a room, control a specific light at the same time, hold on to a room, and you can adjust like the brightness and all that kind of stuff. It's great. Like if you want to just an easy way to control your lights, check this out. It is completely free. There is a paid premium version where you can basically pick the price that you want to pay for the premium version. The premium version is pretty much optional. It just includes support for different icons, so you can change the icon on your home screen. It includes a few different themes for the app, and it includes support for more rooms. By default, it has like a set number of rooms supported, and then with the premium version, all of your rooms. So I have a lot of rooms in my house, like a lot of zones and rooms, and I'm very granular in how it's set up. So without the paid version, I was only limited to some of my rooms. So I paid the premium version and could get access to everything. So that's a really easy way to upgrade that. It also includes support for using switches as lights. So by default, it literally just shows up with light bulbs. But if you upgrade the paid version, just a one-time purchase, and again, you can pick your price between like $2.99 and like $8.99. I like it. He's like, buy me a cup of coffee, $2.99. Buy me a beer, $5.99. Buy me coffee and a beer, $8.99. All do the same thing, just whatever you want to kick back to the developer for his work.
Yeah.
Easy way to use your lights in HomeKit. So a really handy little app.
Very cool. We'll put a link to show notes on that. Developer's name is Jared Oberto or Oberto. And so thanks for that. Very cool. And so coming out of the news, I want to talk about just a mini project that I had in my house. And we might be getting ready to sell it. We had to replace our light in the kitchen. And you know, a lot of kitchen fixtures are, you know, fluorescent, at least older style fixtures. And so we got an LED kitchen fixture, one of those long, you know, 4 foot long LED fixtures for the kitchen. And man, let me tell you, so bright. It is so bright. It was blinding. And that was one of the switches, the few in the house that still were not on a dimmer or some kind of smart switch. So, I mean, there's not many times that my wife actually asks me to buy a HomeKit device, but she was like, can we put a dimmer on here? I said, no problem. And so knowing, again, the old house and the challenges I've had with dimmers and switches, I got the Lutron, the dimmer. I've talked about it before on the show. I have a ton of them all around the house. And so got the Lutron switch. No neutral, because I have no neutral wires anywhere in my house, and put that in, and it works perfect. And so this isn't really news or some kind of grand project, but just have to give a shout out again. You know, when it comes to switches, these Lutron ones are just rock solid. I've never had an issue with any of them, never had to reset any of them. And whatever technology that bridge uses, you know, the switches don't connect to Wi-Fi. The switches are connecting to the Lutron bridge, and I have switches all over the house, and I've never once had a connectivity issue, and some of them are pretty far away. So again, kudos to Lutron. I was able to dim the kitchen light and include it in my scenes for like good morning, good night, and all that kind of stuff, and it's just awesome. So shout out to Lutron one more time. All right, so we had some listener questions and feedback. Again, keep those coming. Tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes, and use the hashtag HomeKitInsider. And so our first one here is from Tim Miller. Did you see this one?
I did, yeah. Tim sent me a question, and this is a perfect segue from your Lutron setup there.
Yes.
And he, I believe, is building a new house, and he was looking for what lights to go with, kind of what to start with. If I was starting from scratch, I've tested all these light bulbs, these smart lights, everything else, what would I go with?
Mm.
And it's kind of a hard question. I think my main one I'd probably go with would be Hue.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because it's probably the one that most people are familiar with, because there are a lot of really cool bulbs out there. But I like Hue because I can get away with essentially the one bridge for all the different lights. And Hue has so many different shapes and sizes of their bulbs. They have color and white and temperature controlled white bulbs that are out there. So no matter what the fixture is, you're going to find something. Heck, they've even got fixtures. You can buy Hue lamps, Hue pendants, sconces, outdoor lights. They have the sensors. They have they have their own switches to add additional functionality to their lights. They just have so much in their ecosystem, and everything across the board works with HomeKit. So that would likely be what I would go with when starting from scratch, and just being very careful when I set things up. Now, there are limitations there, of course. You have to use Zigbee. Zigbee works pretty solidly, though I do find in rare parts of my house that are kind of far away from the bridge. In my bedroom sometimes, I'll hit like the switch, and like one light will just stay on for a second. And I'll have to hit the switch again, and they'll all go off. That's because Zigbee is basically, it's too far from the bridge for that one light bulb to connect, and Zigbee can actually hop. It actually creates like a mesh network between all the different bulbs, which is very much a good thing because you can have them in remote places and it can still connect to your bridge because each bulb acts like a repeater for that Zigbee network.
Hmm.
But occasionally you have that hiccup where that message is lost. It's like playing a game of telephone. Now, Hue is very good at playing telephone, and 99% of the time it passes the correct message, but occasionally that message is lost. So I really do like that part of Hue because you can extend it down. The other option I really like are the LifeX bulbs. They're just so solid. Their Wi-Fi, their app is pretty great, and they have a ton of neat effects that you can go along with them. They do have a solid supply of bulbs that you can pick from, different sizes and colors and everything. They're just a little more on the expensive side because they are Wi-Fi based, but they are a lot brighter, which is one of the main problems I hear with Hue, is they're not bright enough. And something like this is a little bit on the brighter side. Probably stay away from IKEA. They just were not reliable enough for me to jump in those, even though they were affordable enough. Sylvania has a few bulbs. Like there's a ton of these smaller companies that have random bulbs. But if I'm looking from the ground up, I'd probably go with Hue. The other option, as Tim had pointed out, would be going with Lutron. So they're putting some can lights in his ceiling, and he wanted to make sure that the Lutron switches can control that. You just talked about doing that exact same thing. Lutron, in my experience, has been extremely solid. Like, kind of surprisingly solid how good. I've never had an issue at all, except for, like, there was one time because my Ethernet cable was broken and came out of the back of the bridge. I'm like, why isn't it working? And it was just the cable had fallen out of the back. It's like, okay, well, that's acceptable reason for you to not listen to me. So plugged it in, everything worked again. So I've been really happy with Lutron as well. Again, those are a little bit on the higher side, but you can get away with a lot. But those are more the fixtures and everything and the switches, not necessarily the bulbs. So it depends on your situation, what you're doing, which one you would pick. Unless you really wanted the answer to that, I also emailed that to Tim, so he didn't have to listen to that. It just made me think a lot about the lights, so.
Yeah, I would pretty much echo what you're saying. You know, the Hue ecosystem is so great, you know, especially with like the Lutron Aurora that you can use to put it over a switch so someone doesn't flick the lights permanently off and you can't control them. And I've had great experiences with it, and because they have so many different styles, like the candelabra style bulbs for like a ceiling fan, which I have three of those that I use in my living room because I actually couldn't get a smart switch in there. So yeah, I highly recommend the Hue ecosystem, getting started with that. They have pretty cool packages where you can get a hub and two bulbs or a hub and three bulbs, you know, to get started. And I would also recommend thinking about, you know, do you want to start with bulbs or do you want to start with a switch? Because again, thinking, you know, do you have people in your house that are going to be flicking the switches on and off all the time? Is it a thing where you can control a whole ceiling fan or a whole room with one light switch? You know, if you have a chandelier in your dining room, per se, and it has like four or five light bulbs, which is like what mine has, a switch is going to allow you to control that whole room, whereas bulbs, you're going to have to get five dimming bulbs, you know, to do that. So if you're looking for bulbs specifically, yeah, I do recommend Hue, like Andrew was saying, but also, you know, consider doing some switches too and see what, and if you have neutral wires, unlike me, you can try like an Eve switch without getting any kind of hub and see what a switch is like having and, you know, just play around with that. So anyway, yeah, good question and good recommendation from Andrew too. Thank you for that. Next question from Chuck Sumter. He was having some HomePod audio issues. Why don't you tell us what he was experiencing?
Yeah, so this is really, I don't know what you want to count this as, because we ain't got nothing for this. We have no solution for here, because he's kind of found a solution, and it seems like a bug, but I was curious if anyone else was having a similar issue. So Chuck made the smart, rational decision to dump a bunch of Echo devices and switch to multiple HomePods. And the HomePods, he was incredibly impressed, as I was, how easily you could say Siri keywords and the HomePod would answer. It's pretty amazing because I can literally be kind of sitting on my couch and I don't even have to like raise my voice to a ridiculous level. I can just kind of say those words and HomePod will answer me. And it's been very responsive in that regard. And unfortunately for Chuck here, his HomePods have started to develop a hearing problem, and they sometimes don't respond to him, where he has to like actually like kind of shout it and yell at his HomePods before they'll listen to him. Like, it's a really weird situation. It's not just one HomePod either. It is all three of his HomePods. Hmm. They'll just be hard of hearing, and he has to raise his voice or repeat the key phrase for them to answer. And if that is one of your primary ways of controlling your house, you do not want that to be happening. Chuck says that he can go ahead and reset those HomePods, just unplug them, plug them back in, boom, fixed, but only for a couple of days before it starts happening again. So that sounds incredibly frustrating, and Siri is probably the number one reason why I have my HomePods, and if it was doing that, I would be more than perturbed by it. So I don't have a solution for this. I can say that I'm not experiencing this issue. I don't know why it's happening to Chuck, not to me. Chuck says he has filed a radar with Apple, and that has been escalated internally, so maybe it is a bigger issue than I was aware of, and hopefully Apple tracks that down. But I was curious how many other people were having a similar issue to Chuck here, and if they've had any luck in kind of resolving it. I'm currently on the HomePod or Audio OS, whatever Apple is calling it, but the beta for to go along with iOS 14. So if there is something fixed, which if they're kind of escalating his bug request, I doubt it is fixed in 14, but that could be a differentiation between his public available update versus my beta update. But I'm not seeing this. I don't know if you've had any issues with this at all. No one on the Apple Insider team that I've talked to has had this issue, but I'm curious about our listeners. If anyone else is having this issue, let me know. Let Steven know, write it on Twitter, and we'll pass some information back over to Chuck.
Yeah, let us know. You know, I have three HomePods also. I'm on the public release, so I am not on the betas. And I will say, it's not as bad it seems like Chuck is experiencing, or as consistently bad. There are times when I have two kind of within earshot of each other. And if I'm trying to talk to one in my kitchen, I'll hear the living room one respond and the kitchen one just stays silent. But if I talk quiet enough where the living room one couldn't hear me, then the kitchen one seems to respond. And, you know, when you do the hey dingus and you try to talk to your devices, they all kind of activate for a second and then they'll prioritize whatever device it thinks, you know, you want to talk to. And so if you have your iPhone, your iPad, your Apple Watch, and your HomePod all in close proximity and you say, hey, dingus, you know, you might see your phone screen pop up and your watch, but then the HomePod will take over. So, you know, I don't know if sometimes it's a thing where one HomePod, I don't know, can maybe hear and it's trying to decide which one you're talking to. And so the one that you're right next to will seem unresponsive. I've experienced that a couple times.
That's curious.
And yeah. And so again, I find that if I whisper almost the hey dingus, the one closest to me will respond consistently and the one that's far away couldn't hear me. And so I wonder, you know, if that's an issue, but that's something that I've seen kind of ongoing. Resetting the HomePods doesn't really change that. So I don't know if you're having a different kind of issue or I don't know, maybe try that. Maybe get real close and just whisper to your HomePod.
Okay, well, now it got real creepy.
And see what it does. I was trying to get an example. But, you know, see if maybe that, you know, responds to the one. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. Maybe see if unplugging two out of three and talking just to one, maybe see what happens then as kind of an experiment, you know, process of elimination. Yeah, really weird. So listeners, if you have any thoughts or ideas about that issue, let us know. Tweet at us.
Yeah, or if you have opinions on Steven whispering seductively to Siri, I'd also love to hear about that too.
I was just trying to give a concrete example of what you need to do. You need to go whisper, hey Siri. But anyway,
all right. Whisper sweet nothings to your HomePod.
So our last listener question for this week, this is from Lars. He sent us an email. He was asking about HomeKit secure video cameras, and I thought this was a great question. So he wants to be able to record. He wants his cameras to flip into record mode when he's asleep or at night. But he has only found, and you would know if listeners, you use HomeKit secure video cameras, that you basically have a home and an away setting where you can say stream and record or just do one or the other, and you set it for when you're home and then when you're away from home. So like my camera, like say in the living room, I have a Eufy cam in there. When it detects that everyone has left the house, me and my wife devices are gone, then it'll flip into record mode. Otherwise, it's just in stream. So Lars is wanting to know, can he flip them into record mode at night? You know, but he's still home, so he can't use the home and away feature to set that. Andrew, I don't know, do you have a solution for Lars?
I actually got almost the same question a while ago when I think it was in our podcast. We were talking about these cameras, and I mentioned that at night I switched it to, I think, like activity mode or something, not necessarily record, but activity, something like that. And a reader asked out, oh, how do you do that? How do you include that in your scene? And the secret is, I don't. I have to manually go and change it, but I only do it for a couple cameras that I care about inside the house that I want to change that scene for. So it's not as bad as five as Lars is having an issue with. And as far as I can tell, no, there's nothing here in iOS 14. And it kind of that sleep night mode is a weird omission on Apple's part, because it's not even just with cameras, it's also with the security system. Because you've mentioned this with like the Abode or the Acara. And that is, Apple oddly has, like, modes for these different systems. So for, like, a security system, you may want your away mode, where everything is triggered, your motion sensors inside, your contact sensors on doors and windows, all that will trigger an alarm. But when you're home, like at night, you don't want motion sensors to trip your alarm, because you may be walking around the house at night, but you do want a open door or open window to set off a sensor as well, or set off the alarm. So that's kind of like your night mode, where it's just arming certain sensors. And Abode, Acara, they have these different modes, and you can see those modes in like HomeKit, but you can't really change or make those settings in HomeKit. I think the Acara one, I can literally go in and like I can see those modes, but I can't really do anything much more with them. I can't control them. You have to do all that through the manufacturer's app and through their own kind of software to determine those things. And it's really odd that they don't have like a night mode. And the same thing applies to these cameras. You know, maybe you want to have those different features for recording and motion detection while you're away. During the day, you want to be able to detect activity, but you can't stream anything. But at night, you want to be able to detect activity and stream. There's just different levels of control there. And it's weird that, one, there isn't a way to control that kind of automatically, and two, you can't even build that functionality through shortcuts or HomeKit into scenes or automations. I really would have expected there to be some sort of night mode here, something along those lines, and there's just not. Yeah, there is a solution, which is using the smart plugs. We talked about that ages ago, and I mean, I did a video on this probably 2 years ago or 3 years ago when HomeKit cameras were out, but there was no control at all. It was just stream all the time, and that was your only solution. And one of the things that I was like, hey, why don't you try connecting a smart plug to it, and then you can do that. You can actually turn it on and off as you please. But here, there's really not anything you can do. It kind of sucks because I want this feature as well. I want, like, when we're home during the day, I want it to record, to detect activity, but not live stream. And then when I go to bed, when I set my good night scene, I want it to switch to activity detection plus streaming.
Right.
So that you can actually see that and get notified about that. But right now, there's no easy way to do it. So if you are testing iOS 14, file a feature request. You got the feedback app on your devices. Log that radar with Apple and let them know that's something that you need, you want to see. And if enough people do it, maybe we'll get lucky and we'll actually get those features down the line.
Well, sorry, that's kind of like strike two for these listener questions. We don't have solutions, but
yep.
We call to you, listeners. Let us know if you have some solutions or ideas about these issues. Let us know, tweet at us or email us. All those links are in the show notes. And you can find all the links that we've talked about, like the Level Lock Touch, the new app updates, the Yardian, the Eufy Smart Drop. All those links are in show notes. And again, as you have more questions, continue to tweet and email us those. If you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review in the Apple Podcasts app. So many of you have done that. So many 5-star ratings, and we really appreciate all of you who have done that. And if you haven't yet, that would help us get shared and seen by more people. And if you haven't shared the podcast yet and you know your followers and friends love smart home stuff, maybe HomeKit stuff or just Apple device users, share the podcast. Tell them about it. So thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.